Here at the Beringer Ingelheim Area Regional Control Workshop for PERS, we had presentations here that mainly focused on change and how people can change things. Changing the game is what Area Regional Control for PERS is all about, and it involves groups of people having to work together. Carl Aspler did a presentation here about change management. And Carl, tell me a little bit about some of the things that you talked about here that might help people that are putting together area regional control projects.
I think one of the challenges about managing any project is that people, there's a very strong people element. Mm-hmm. And people realize that very quickly, especially after they leave meetings that have been frustrating because somebody doesn't agree with the direction of the project, or we have difficulty getting people to get on board or to see the value of what we're doing. And so early on, there's always going to be kind of a people element. And I think if there's kind of a message for everybody who's trying to manage change, and so everybody, even if you're deeply embedded in the science of a change project, there's always going to be a people aspect, mm-hmm. is to just somehow keep in front of them the fact that the people issues are going to impact the outcome, and basically asking themselves a question: who's out there? How are they going to react to this? How do we make the people involved, the different stakeholders, the people impacted by a project, mm-hmm. Whether they be producers or truck drivers or 4-H or local mm-hmm. vets, you know, all the population of people out there, let's look at each one and look at how do we make it more comfortable for them to get on board and to feel positive about what we're doing. And I think that's the critical question. There are a whole lot of tools and techniques of trying to probe that and get some strategies and tactics, but the key question is, who's out there, what are their concerns, and can I do something with this project, or what I build into the project, or how I could talk about the project that's going to make them feel more comfortable? So that has to be kind of a question that people should be asking themselves more frequently at meetings, when they're sitting in front of their computer, when they're putting a brochure together, when they're organizing a group of producers to come together. Always keeping that question in front of them will always, and often the common sense answers that come to their mind are the right answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and common sense is a lot of what this has to do with. Common sense and communication, which is key, because you think that everybody else thinks like you do. And I guess, so you talked about a couple of specific things that people should do when they're doing this, and Dale Paulson came up and said, well, we've got at least four of these that really relate to that, and that is making a clear problem statement, answering the question why, meeting the resistance of key stakeholders, and the project barriers and contingencies. Talk a little bit about those and how people might address those, because while it is common sense and involved in communications, you know, maybe you just need to sit down with a pencil and paper.
That's exactly the answer. Sitting down with a pencil and paper, because I think one of the things is having a clear problem statement. People will often have different versions of what the problem is and why, and different versions of why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And I think the pencil and paper approach is great. Have everybody sit down, for example, all the key people on the project sit down without talking to each other and say, why are we doing this? And then they take their papers, stick them on the wall, and you'd be surprised for even those projects where everybody thinks it's a slam dunk, it's a no-brainer, people have written out different versions of what the project is all about. And so that would be an early activity, and then you talk about the differences, and as a group, come to some agreement as to say, no, it's about this, it's more about this, it's less about that. And that would be like an activity that a group could do very early on to get alignment around the problem. The other issue that Dale mentioned was explaining the why, getting people to understand the rationale. Again, it's a paper and pencil exercise. It's who am I dealing with, and what makes their day a great day, and what makes their day a miserable day, and is there anything about this project that will make less miserable days for this person? And kind of just thinking it through. All the way from when a producer wakes up in the morning, for example, and goes to bed at night, what do they think about, and what keeps them awake at night, and is there anything I could connect with what we're doing to any of those concerns and issues that that person has? And out of that brainstorming could possibly come some messages. Mm-hmm. So if you meet that guy, whoever it is, the next time in the parking lot or at a meeting, and they confront us one more time about this is a waste of time, or I don't know why we're doing this, or where we're spending our time on this when we should be spending time on something else, out of our back pocket comes a little story that we could generate around connecting the project, starting with a concern they have about their own work, and saying, well, maybe this we could help do this. If we eliminate this, there'd be less of a risk this happening, and it might be that employees working on the farm might be less reluctant because they know things are safe, you know, less. So, and that would be the idea of kind of building the case, the explaining the why. And the resistance one, it would be very similar. It's paper and pencil exercise, conversations with other people, asking what are these person's specific concerns around the project, and can I address those? What answers do I have for these questions? And ultimately, when it comes to resistance, the one tactic, I guess, if there's nothing else in this whole kit bag of change management, is involving them. Get them involved. Ask them questions, even if you can't stand the answers. Ask them questions anyway, because involvement eventually gets to commitment, as long as the person is involved. So giving them information, but basically saying, okay, what are their specific concerns? Is there anything I could accent or emphasize or say that will address some of those concerns? And then the last one is building a kind of a plan and saying, you know, unfortunately, the exciting stuff is generating the solutions and then getting the first implementation, and then everybody rushes off to the next initiative, the next project. So what can I build in to identify what contingencies, what potential breakdowns could occur to the change that I've made, and how do I immunize that against happening? Do I need to have a person come back every 6 months to check in? Do I need to have regular meetings? Do I need to put a local advisory group together where we monitor what we've done? You know, what things can we put in place to sort of make sure that the building we've now constructed, you know, the solutions we've come up with doesn't start to fall down and go back to where it was before? So
now, we were talking specifically about PERS area regional control here, but the concepts that you're talking about, I mean, you gave some examples in just everyday life, but they can be applied to any business, any corporation, any organization, and anybody that decides that there's something we want to do. How do we get it implemented, right?
Exactly. I mean, reaction to change is a universal human experience. It's more than human. It's biological. You know, even single-celled organisms are smart enough to know that if you change their equilibrium, if you mess things up with them, they get uncomfortable and they try to escape. So we've learned everything. It's an evolutionary concept. We've been like that for millions of years. So it doesn't matter whether you're in the mining industry or the services industry or the airline travel industry. As soon as somebody comes up and says, I'd like to rearrange this, we hear the very same reactions. So the tools that work in all those places work here. It's because we're dealing with a common kind of human experience rather than it's related to animals or it's related to airline flying or whatever. It's pretty common.
Now, you've got the chance to talk to the people that are here. What are some of the reactions that you got from people here to what you presented?
One of the things I noticed, I think at the session yesterday, was when we went through that sort of the factors that create successful change, and talked about the issue of what would be in your list of the things that you come up with that create disappointment for you around projects. And I mentioned, was it more on the T side or the P side, the people side? And all the heads went up and down around the people side. So I think it's validation that a lot of us, are a lot of people, feel the frustration that just the people side of change is the biggest challenge. But it's somehow, we don't want to talk about it that much because maybe it reflects on us as people. You know, we should be able to manage people. Okay, tell me I can't measure something. Okay, I'll learn how to do that. But don't come up to me and say I can't manage people. So it tends to be unstated. But I think what I kind of realized with the people here is that they are having the identical people issues with their projects as the entire rest of the world. I mean, so that validated that for me. That's not a unique experience. And that they're also, what makes it tougher, I think, in these working groups is the range of constituencies they're dealing with. You know, I was watching a group list all the people impacted by their project, all the people that need to get on board, and the variety, and the fact that even within each group, it wasn't a homogeneous group. You had producers on the plus side, on the minus side, you had 4-H, you had this, the local, you know, the list was endless, and it wasn't a homogeneous, not everybody felt the same way in every group. So it makes it a bit tougher because it seems to be a lot of diversity in these groups, but nothing that good, solid common sense thinking still can't overcome.
Well, when you sit down and look at this stuff, I mean, to some people it might seem somewhat overwhelming. And a lot of there was comments yesterday of like, well, thanks for telling us what we were doing wrong, you know. But yeah. But in the long run, this should eliminate, you know, some of the problems, the project barriers that people come up against.
Yes, I mean, the whole idea of this is also preventive, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, to some extent, you know, I'm presenting a new laundry list of things that everybody should be doing around projects, and so people will reflect and say, yeah, well, yeah, I guess I didn't do that well on that one. But the idea is raising awareness. If you know that that's your Achilles heel, is going out speaking publicly about the benefits of PERS eradication, the next question is, how do I get around that? Maybe I don't have to speak publicly. How do I get the message across for somebody else? So by thinking about some of these things ahead of time, later on there'll be less things wrong mm-hmm. that happen.
Do you find resistance to change when you talk about change management?
Yes, and I'm probably the first person. If my wife, who is the butt of my stories around change management, were sitting in the back of the room, she'd be laughing her head off. There goes Mr. Change Management. Now I can't even get him to get the dishes out of the sink. So I think all of us are change resistors to some extent, and we realize that. And that's why a lot of the common sense, the techniques of overcoming resistance are really common sense, because if we just have to think about ourselves and say, well, what would it take me to be more accepting of a particular change? Whatever the answers are will also apply to everybody else. Right. And so
I think bottom line, you're talking about communication and getting into other people's heads and say, what would I do in that situation? Right?
Yeah, yeah. If somebody wanted to open me, if I was a can of orange juice and somebody had to open me, did they open me roughly or gently? The answer is going to be gently every time. So, yeah, the more we personalize it, the more we also get better with other people.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. I'm Cindy Zimmerman here in Chicago.
Okay, thank you.